call the doctor.
Yes, I'm sitting here in this hard-backed chair doing the Love and Logic show today, and I am I'm a blessed man. I have Michael Johnson here. He has written a number of books. Michael, before we move on with Clyde's question about academics, let's let people know how they can learn more about your books.
Well, they're at MichaelJohnsonBooks.com, and they're all about the same thing. They appear to be about different things. One is about a little frog in the third grade. Another is about a horse who changed a kid's life. Another about an abused horse. But while they have different subjects, they're really all about the same thing. And it's Clyde's question. What causes us to rise? What are the things that make us want to care more and try more?
Mm-hmm. And so they're all about how do you motivate people? And we do believe that you can do that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, one of the things, oh, by the way, before I continue on, give us that website again.
MichaelJohnsonBooks.com.
MichaelJohnsonBooks.com. Very good. You know, I'm always saying to people, you know, you can't make a kid do their work. And we need to tease that out a little bit. We can't make a kid put their pencil on a piece of paper and do the work, right? I mean, if a kid is dead set against that, they're going to fight us and we're not going to get anywhere.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about here. Again, we're talking about lifelong motivation to learn, right? A lifelong motivation to be a good person. And I have Clyde on the line. Clyde, you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. The first thing that I would recommend mastering in your journey with your son here is the ability to totally go brain dead when this kid starts arguing with you.
So, well, you mean reverse it?
Well, basically,
because he goes brain dead when I argue. So
well, exactly, right? Exactly. So the reason you do that, and what I mean is you don't think. The reason you do that is so that you're not tempted to reason back with the kid. Because, you know, reasoning with an angry kid is about as effective as using a toothbrush to clean up a nuclear Superfund site. You know, it just doesn't happen.
Right.
It doesn't work. So anyway, the first thing is you go brain dead. And the next thing you do is you just come up with one statement you can just keep repeating over and over again. And with teenagers, Clyde, I really like this. Well, that's it. Yeah,
that's,
you know,
I
well, I'm never going to need this stuff. Well, I don't know why I have to do this. Well, what's wrong with you? You might even add, what did I say? You know, and sometimes it's nice if you can just add just a real sweet, loving smile, you know. But the whole thing says to him two things. First of all, you're not going to be able to manipulate me to give in, right? And you're not going to get me to turn, you're not going to get my face to turn red. And see, one of the characteristics that we've observed of really great models, the kind of people that motivate other people to be their best, is that these people are powerful, they have high expectations, they're no nonsense, but at the same time, they're very, very caring and positive about that person. Michael, what would you say to that? You know,
I would just say that I love it, and here's a something I puzzled about for years. That person you described, for some reason, eventually, maybe not at first, but eventually, we become compelled to seek that person's approval.
Yes.
His or her approval comes to mean everything to us. That positive, caring, kind of tough person that's wanting the best from us. And for years, I puzzled, why do we respond to them? And I found the answer. The answer is because we know down inside that they're helping us get better. They're increasing our faith in ourselves.
Right. So, Clyde, what we're saying is that you're going to continue basically doing, I think, what you've been doing, because I hear from you, and I got from your email that you really care about your boys.
Oh, absolutely.
And I got from your email, I could be wrong about this, but I kind of got a sense from your email and talking to you that you're also fairly no-nonsense and that you do expect them to behave.
Well, you know, that is kind of the rules of the road, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the way it ought to be.
I mean, a lot of people kind of, I don't know if it's the media, but because, boy, they sure paint an ugly picture, but they sure make sitcoms, all that. They sure make dads look like a bunch of boobs.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's been happening for years and years. You know, you look at, well, it's authority figures in general. You know,
absolutely.
You go back to I think it started a lot of it with Barney Fife on the Andy Griffith Show.
Whoa.
You know, and he was just a blithering idiot.
Yeah.
But you look over at Andy, you know, Andy Taylor.
Right.
And he was one of those special people, the Opie.
Oh, he was kind of,
you know, he was kind of had the ability to look at the Opie and say, that ain't good, youngin'. Well, and Opie's kind of like, oh, Pa, you know, I do whatever you want me to do. You know, and so, you know, you have two interesting models on that show, one for ineffective parenting, one for great parenting. And so another piece of this that I'm going to encourage you to do, too, is learn all about the enforceable statements we teach. An enforceable statement is really simple. It's basically just saying what you're going to do. And then setting a limit by telling somebody what you're going to do rather than what they're supposed to do. And so with a 16-year-old, it might sound like this. Well, son, you know, I'm thinking that I'll be fairly happy to put those tires back on your car when I feel respected. You know, and by the way, I actually know a dad. The kid was kind of acting up and being snotty, and dad just snuck out and took the wheels off the car at night. And the kid came out there, and, you know, he just blew a gasket. I mean, the kid looked like Barney Fife. He runs in the house, Dad, somebody stole my wheels, you know. And Dad says, oh, son, love you to death and got worried about you being respectful, so I'll be happy to put those back on when I feel respected. Or saying things like, you know, I'll listen when your voice is calm. Or saying things like, well, I'll be happy to take you over the mall when your chores are done. Those are all things that you can enforce. And Michael, comment on this. Agree or disagree. The great people in our lives, those special people, always do what they say they're going to do.
Absolutely. That integrity. You come to depend on their statements like a large stone. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and what I'm getting at here is the way we set limits has a lot to do with how well we're able to enforce them. So if I'm saying things like, you better get a better attitude, you know, it doesn't matter how nice I say it, I can't make that happen, right, Clyde?
Absolutely. You know, earlier in the show, you were mentioning something about this argument about you better bring your grades up, or you better do this or that. And I'm thinking, you know, I think I've been on both sides of that argument.
Oh, okay. So you can experience that.
Well, I think
so
we
have
all
I.
Can.
Yeah, we've all experienced that. And so one of the things that I recommend against is just telling the kid or issuing threats about grades and homework and learning, because I can't make this kid, I can't directly make this kid do his work. But what I can do is I can set a lot of limits in the home that are enforceable because they have to do with my behavior. And I can also hold the kid accountable with a lot of love, but firmness, right?
Right.
And then I can model learning. And, you know, Michael, you hit on something. You said that Clyde was asking for help, and that was a powerful thing. I agree. What else does that do? It models it, you know, modeling. I look at my own parents, and I was a very lucky kid because my parents both of them came from extremely dysfunctional families. In fact, if their families of origin tried to get on the Jerry Springer show, the producers would say, we can't take them, they're too sick.
Oh,
and what that allowed me to do as a kid was see my parents growing. Because they had a long ways to go. And I think that that was one of the biggest factors that, that allowed me to really, you know, do pretty well academically, was just seeing them growing like crazy and struggling and learning and becoming better all the time. So I know that you're reading the book Parenting with Love and Logic. Is that right, Clyde?
Yeah. You know what? I haven't read the whole book. I read it a few pages at a time to make sure I absorb it.
And this whole thing, it
was suggested to me to get it from the, and I got it from the library. And as I read through it, I thought, I got to have this book. But before I thought that, I read about different, I thought, well, maybe there's something in here on grades. Maybe there's something in here on these other things. And I thought, geez, this is going to be a handy tool to have all the time. So I ordered the book. Yeah, I really like the idea about the driving where, you know, instead of taking the tires off the car, I'd rather just put that bar on the steering wheel.
Absolutely. Hey, can you hang on a little bit, Clyde?
Sure.
We'll be hooking right back up with you.